Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I am really excited to welcome Britt Guerin. She is a wonderful mental health counselor and fitness professional in the Raleigh area because she is the owner of this awesome space that we're going to chat about today in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's called Current Wellness. So Britt, I'm so excited to have you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to chat today.
Yes, we'd love to know a little bit more about you, your background, a little bit more about Current Wellness and really what got you into this space. So if you could share some of that with us, I think that will help set the tone for this episode.
So I wear a lot of different hats. My first background is in fitness. Went to Penn State, have a degree in kinesiology and worked in fitness for, I don't know, time is so hard to recall, but 8 years, 10 years, something like that. And then kind of realized, as much as I love fitness and love the fitness industry, just kind of noticed that there were some challenges within the fitness space for certain populations and decided to go back to school for clinical mental health. And so, yeah, I did that a few years ago and became a licensed therapist and was thinking about like, okay, what do I want to do? I still want to teach fitness. I want to open a private practice and see folks for individualized counseling, and was looking for a space just for me to have like a little office and then a small studio where I could do like small group classes. And then I was like, that doesn't sound as fun. Like, I don't want to be on my own. And so that's kind of where Current Wellness was born, to collaborate with other like-minded wellness professionals and also to support other folks who run their own private practice in mental health or nutrition counseling or physical therapy. So yeah, Current Wellness is a co-working space for wellness practitioners. We have a teaching kitchen. My partner, Nathan, runs the food education program. And then we have a movement studio for fitness, yoga, dance, and lots of different like community events. So it's kind of my jam. That's what I do day to day.
I love it. I love this is like becoming more popular to see this kind of inclusion within one space, right? So there's like multiple different practitioners and different offerings in the wellness space, but they all kind of come under the same umbrella. And it does give, I think, clients that opportunity to have access to all these different parts of wellness, which is what I'm really big about, right? How it is a very holistic process. And just to see that like coming to fruition and existing. I know there are some other spaces in Raleigh that do similar concepts. And I think that it's becoming more of a popular thing because people are recognizing that like fitness can't necessarily stand alone on its own if we're going to, you know, consider that it can be a part of our well-being, but it does need to encompass all of the other aspects as well. So it's really cool that you've been able to do that. And I feel like you were one of the first spaces, I'd say, in our community that I saw that really did a good job of kind of bringing that all together. I think specifically for what the work that you guys do, I've been really interested in learning more about. I know in your mission statement, it says how you are really activating inclusive wellness for mind, body, and community. And I would love to know what this inclusive wellness means to you.
Well, I think first, just kind of starting off talking about like wellness and wellness culture. I think, unfortunately, a lot of times wellness culture portrays a look, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I do this every time I talk about, you know, inclusive wellness. I go on Instagram and I hashtag wellness and hit search. And what typically comes up is a lot of thin bodies, muscular bodies, a lot of white individuals, this very white space. So, you know, when I think of, you know, just that wellness culture portraying a look, it's the nature of it is very exclusive. It's not representative of, you know, our population and different types of identities. So inclusive wellness to me is really pushing against that, against mainstream culture, mainstream wellness. And we at Current Wellness in particular really focus on like setting aside chasing a look or a size or, you know, yeah, a particular aesthetic and focusing on how we feel instead. So I think, you know, wellness feels different for each individual. And that's actually where part of our secondary logo, I don't know if you've seen it, it's like fingerprint slash like wave is inspired it. So the fingerprint is really like individualized, right? Like we're all different. Our bodies are different, you know, in our population has a diverse size of bodies. And yeah, so we need to like celebrate that instead of pushing a particular type of image. So instead, what we do at Current Wellness is really focus on how we feel, focus on like, what is important to us? What do we value? What are our goals? You know, I know for myself, there was a point in my life where I was working out daily, sometimes multiple times a day. My diet was basically consuming, you know, what wellness culture would consider quote unquote healthy. But in a lot of ways, I was not well. I, you know, had social anxiety. I was burnt out. I was exhausted. And so I think just like knowing, having that experience and feeling like I was doing quote all the right things and not feeling great. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? Like, this isn't it. It's not just fitness and nutrition, right? So yeah, that's a little bit about like inclusive wellness and just where our mission came from.
That's awesome. And I think you and I have parallel stories of that struggle. I think I would argue a lot of fitness professionals have that similar background of almost going to the extreme, maybe even both directions, but like going to some form of an extreme and then trying to find their way back to a wellness mindset that like actually works for them. And I think that we see this in our culture all the time, right? People who are in and out of diets. And I feel like this is actually changing. I really do. Like I'm sure you see it, especially in the clientele that you serve, but even from my end, not explicitly being in more of the space that you're in, but even being on the outside of that, it feels like people are moving towards feeling better and that being the primary driver above everything else. Because my argument always is if that is moving well, right? If you are, you know, feeling really good, that is often going to kickstart some of the other things as well. But it always has to start, I think, from that seed, from that root, before it can really blossom into this holistic kind of perspective on things. Mm-hmm. So it's really beautiful to see the shift in the industry as well, which I think is happening. It's mm-hmm. slow, it's going to take time, you know, but I think the little baby steps mm-hmm. are what we need to look out for in the meantime. I would love to know, I know another big thing that's really important for both you and Current Wellness, or, you know, one and the same, is that you share this kind of social justice and self-compassion as being some of the foundational pursuits within the community. So I would love to know kind of what that looks like, feels like for those within your community, how you help promote that in the community, maybe even in the greater community.
I think part of my inspiration for really weaving, but having social justice as a foundation to our work was when I was in school for clinical mental health and my internship director would talk about like, we cannot talk about wellness without talking about social justice, mm-hmm. right? So that like, how can a person be quote unquote well if they can't feel safe or go into a park and feel safe because of the color of their skin? Mm-hmm. Or how can a person be well if their healthcare rights are being taken away because they are trans? So, you know, I think a lot of times wellness culture, you know, as I mentioned, the culture is not only portraying a look, but it's really looking through the lens of behaviors, you know, mm-hmm. eat healthy, exercise. But we know there's so much more that goes on and impacts someone's health and well-being than just food and exercise. And I think part of the problem with that is, you know, we may look at someone who, let's say they were coming to the gym and then they stopped and they canceled their membership. You know, a judgment might be placed on them as, you know, they're lazy or they don't care about their health and wellness. It's like, well, what else is going on? Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they experienced racism in the gym. Maybe they were fat shamed in the gym. You know, maybe something's going on in their home life or in their environment. So we really try to integrate and talk, like speak about social determinants of health You know, like so much more impacts our health than just behaviors. I think I've read some studies that like actually about, we have about like our behaviors impact our health about 25%. The rest is like out of our control. It's like genetics, again, social determinants of health, all these other things that are out of our control. And that is not something that fitness and wellness professionals talk about because it's kind of scary, right? Like to know that we actually don't have as much impact on our health as we think we do. We can still influence our health and, you know, do things that feel good to us, but it's not as much as we think. So yeah. And like the self-compassion piece, I think is really the antithesis to diet culture. You know, diet culture is essentially saying like we are morally better or superior if we are thin. And we kind of take the philosophy of like body liberation and fat positivity and body positivity that says like you are good and enough just as you are, as your body is today, your today body. And this approach, like I think it's very countercultural, you know, it's, I think, like you said, it's becoming a little bit more, not necessarily popular, but you see it a little bit more, but it's like crucial for our mental health and for, and then our physical health. So yeah, that's kind of like the foundation to wellness in our space. And I love, like, our members are incredible because they come for our mission. We have folks who like, they come for a tour. And one of the first things they say is like, tell me about how you're inclusive. Like they want to know, because unfortunately they have had, a lot of folks have had experiences in other spaces where they were fat shamed or they were like put on a scale when they like didn't have a weight loss goal, but it was assumed that they should lose weight. So they, people have these, and I guess I'll also kind of share, like, I don't think fitness professionals mean to do harm. I truly think they are trying to help, but they're just misinformed. So, you know, I want to hold compassion for folks who are doing this, and yet it's unintentionally causing harm. And so our members are awesome because they're just, they're advocating for themselves and they're really here for, yeah, the inclusive mission.
I can imagine too that this like lens of fitness and health makes it more likely for someone to actually continue like showing up at the gym and continue exercising this form of self-compassion while also, you know, moving their body or paying attention to more of the behavioral. I assume that it would influence the behaviors as well, just coming from the mindset side of like, this is a place that I belong. This is a place where I feel safe. This is a place where I feel accepted and I can continue coming back. Cause I think so many people maybe bow out if they have those experiences, right? It's like, well, I was never welcome in that space and I don't feel comfortable there. And being able to have that, I can imagine that that would really impact the members in that way as well.
Totally. And I think too, like, unfortunately, when, if someone has a negative experience and they don't know there's an alternative, they kind of think like, well, fitness isn't for me or yoga isn't for me. And it's like, well, maybe that style wasn't for you, or maybe that coach wasn't for you. And there are other approaches. And I totally agree with you. Like, I think using this approach is way more sustainable. And yeah, it just, it feels better. So people, I think our retention rate is pretty high for that
reason. Yeah, that's awesome. And that's what it's all about, right? I mean, I think every fitness professional would say, like, we just want people to continue, you know, doing the things that make them feel good. And I know that that's probably, like you said, it's not that the, it's the misinformed, right? And I know from my own career, right? Like, I have definitely, you know, done things that weren't as inclusive, you know, because I just didn't know any better.
Me too.
Yeah. And it's like, it is that evolution, I think, as well, that, that, if we are slowly going through it, right, or we've gone through parts of that, I can see that, you know, having that ripple effect long term and for the greater good as well. And as we have conversations like this around this and people are more mindful as they go to the gym and who they're around, or maybe they're listening and they don't feel comfortable in the gym, so now they can search for a space that allows them to come as they are. I think another thing you mentioned too around this, the first part of social justice around the first, when you were talking about like, you know, the needs, like somebody's need might be like something at home. So therefore now they can't come to the gym or whatnot, or, and really like when we think about Maslow's like hierarchy of needs, right? The base of that need before you can move to these other needs. And I would argue wellness is probably like, you know, third or fourth layer of the needs. That base level is security and safety, right? Yeah. And that's needed before we can move into some of these other things. So I think just even having that like understanding helps create more compassion for individuals around us as well. So I just wanted to add that because I think that that's, it just like, it is actually a thing. I think that helps people kind of be like, oh, okay, that makes, you know, that makes sense. Most people have probably heard of that concept if they've done any, you know, work in this space, or even just, I feel like it's talked about more often. You probably heard it on a podcast or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, and yeah, safety builds one's capacity. If someone, you know, this is like a geeky term, but like neurocepts, like your nervous system just senses safety or senses threat without you really thinking about it. Like you just, you kind of know. If we neurocept threat, that depletes capacity. So like if you don't feel safe in a space, it's going to, your system's going to go into fight or flight. So like, how are you supposed to work on your wellness if you're in this like fight or flight, right? Like, so yeah, safety like has to be there in order for us to, you know, move our bodies.
I know. And it's so cool though, to think about like primal, like that's like something that was, I mean, we're all born that way, right? I mean, even years and years and years and years ago, right? That was how we survived. And so it's interesting to me always to see how it plays out in actual modern day life and to see how we can even maybe not feel safe. I mean, I even have situations, obviously I am a white female, so I can't speak on behalf of other, you know, issues that people face, but even the feeling of not feeling safe is very real, right? And walking into a space and just getting those like alarm bells, right? Of like, I don't know, something feels really off. Yeah. And I would argue anybody can feel that way about anything, but that's what comes to mind for me. But I can't even imagine like entering a gym and feeling like that way, right? Or, you know, being in a space where maybe even friends, I can imagine like friends are talking about, you know, their diets, or, you know, people love to talk about that. So in the workplace or someplace like that, where it's very like prominent.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Which is why, of course, we want to talk about like the issues that we see, but also I think it's important to address in this episode is really some practical tips and resources for listeners to both support accessible and inclusive wellness in their own communities or within themselves. So I would love to know just how, you know, we as listeners and just people who are listening to this can either support themselves or support the community at a greater, in the greater good.
Yeah. I mean, the first resource that comes to mind is Decolonizing Fitness. Ilya Parker is incredible. They live in Greensboro, I believe, and are actually currently raising money to outfit a space for trans folks. And yeah, Ilya is incredible and has a Patreon and a podcast. And I learned so much from Ilya. I support their work through and through. They actually did some training for us around like affirming care, affirming wellness at Current Wellness. And yeah, most recently listened to their panel discussion on eating disorders in the Black community. So I think like Ilya really is just a wealth of knowledge and has colleagues who are also a wealth of knowledge. So I highly recommend checking out Ilya's work because I think, you know, this stuff, like I said, it's countercultural and it takes a lot of just like exposure to hearing from people who, you know, aren't white, aren't thin, aren't cisgender. And so I guess one tip would be listen to people who don't look like you, and I'm speaking as a white female. So that would be my first tip. And I think like, give yourself grace and compassion. Cause like as we mentioned, Jenna, like we made mistakes, like I've done things that I'm not proud of. And I wish I knew better at the time. But like, we didn't make this stuff up. you know, we were taught this stuff from systems of oppression that we need to become aware of so that we can unlearn and relearn ways of being and moving through the world and influencing, you know, our clients or supporting our clients. So I guess that would be like where I would start, is just listening to folks in marginalized identities.
I remember even starting to learn more about the Black Lives Matter movement and being really disappointed with myself and feeling that sense of just like, almost like hopelessness for humanity and just like this feeling of guilt of just, how did I not know this? How was I so blind to all of these things? And I think that that's what comes along with that as you embark on this journey of becoming more inclusive in general. And I think what you shared about like continuing to hear different perspectives while also having that compassion for yourself. And I always love the quote. I always go back to this Maya Angelou quote, right? Like, do the best until you know better. And then when you know better, do better. Like, it's as simple as that. If we could just all, you know, adopt that and move along that way, I think that the world could be a much more friendly place. But yeah, I think that's really, really helpful tips for people who are listening. And again, like if you are listening and you don't feel included in your community, right? It's being able to find spaces like Current Wellness or spaces that do have this inclusive quality, and most likely the underlying social justice pursuit as well, I think will allow for people to kind of discover that this does exist, and hopefully it exists within their community. But if not, you know, you can start it too, if you feel called to.
Totally. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, my last question that I have for you is just kind of obviously, and I think this might tie into this last question a little bit, but when embarking in this inclusive wellness journey, I think that obviously there are going to be obstacles whenever you're going against mainstream, whenever you're going up at this point, I'd say up an uphill battle, I think that we're going to encounter obstacles. So what would you say would be some of, even you could share from your own personal journey, but like some of the obstacles that you saw or that you experienced or that you even see some of your members experience, and how would you maybe just sharing some strategies for being able to overcome those obstacles?
I guess I'm just thinking about what you shared related to white guilt. I think when we have new information that is counter to what we've been taught, there can be guilt, there can be anger, there can be, you know, frustration, grief, a lot of stuff can come up. And I think I just want to normalize that as part of the process, because yeah, it's almost like we're shedding old stuff and moving through it so that we can let go and attach to new systems that are more liberating. So yeah, I think the other thing, especially in like health at every size or size inclusive spaces, I think there are some misunderstandings about it. Like, for example, that if you are pursuing weight loss, then you're a bad person. It's like, no, that doesn't make you a bad person. Like, people have body autonomy, you know? So people, I believe in choosing, you know, what you want to do with your body. And that's, you know, that's your decision. And so like at Current Wellness, we're not against people who diet. We are trying to resist diet culture because it is a system of oppression that harms people. So we really look at it as like a systemic problem. Oh yeah. And by the way, diet culture is rooted in racism, right? So like it's tricky because it's like, we don't want to shame someone who is pursuing weight loss or is moving their body to change their body, but we also want to challenge these systems that are harming people. So it's very complex. It's very nuanced. And so I guess like one thing I go back to is just like, again, holding compassion for everyone's human experience, because we have, especially with like different identities, different backgrounds, different experiences, there's different phases of this work, and it's all welcome. So wherever you're at, like, you know, just, you know, honor yourself for where you're at, and we're all just doing our best. So I guess that's what comes up for me right now.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's such a good way to end this. I think that it gives our listeners just some hope, some comfort to be able to you know, make the choice that is best for them. And also understanding that it's forever an evolution. I think that's something that I always come back to, right? Like I'm always evolving in my own process of wellness. And I see it with my clients. I've had clients come back after some time and, you know, wanting to work on new things that aren't related to, you know, body image. And now we're moving in towards more of like internal health things. So it's just really beautiful to see that progression within myself and then within my clients and within others. So anyways, Britt, this was such a great topic. I'm so glad you've been able to join me for this and to share what beautiful work you're doing in the community. And if our listeners wanted to connect with you, find you, where would they be able to do that?
Yeah. I mean, Instagram, Current Wellness or currentwellnessraleigh.com is our website. I teach classes. We've got an amazing team of fitness and yoga professionals. So yeah, come for a class or just come and hang out because we're all about building community.
Love it. Thanks so much for joining us, Britt.
Thanks, Jenna.